you'd like, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, or you could look on the back of your bulletin. The whole text is printed out there for you. Matthew chapter 1, we'll be reading, actually Bonnie will be reading, verse 18 through chapter 2, verse 12.
This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you, Bonnie. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening, a time where we can remember the birth of your Son. We thank you for this word which you have revealed to us. Help us to know you better through it. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Christmas Eve is often a quiet time. But frankly, it's not always peaceful for all of us. For some, it is full of warmth and it's full of good memories, but for others, it's heavy with a sense of loss or maybe a sense of fatigue from the year or just a lot of distractions. And also, for many of us, it's just a time of familiarity, right? This is just what we do year after year. We step into the Advent season and then we step out and the year comes by and we do it again. But Christmas time should not be just about sentimental warmth, although it is, and it shouldn't just be about good memories or even bad past memories. It certainly shouldn't be about meaningless traditions. Because Christmas is really about nearness. God came near. And when God comes near, no one remains unchanged. And we can see this in the first portion of our text that Bonnie read for us. When God comes near, he disrupts ordinary lives. So Matthew began this story of Jesus' birth not with angels singing, but with a problem. Mary is pregnant. Mary is a teenager and she's unwed and she's pregnant. And Joseph knows that this child is not his. And so you can imagine all of Joseph's youthful plans and dreams just start to collapse. What's he going to do? Well, he's called a righteous man in this text. It means he's faithful. He's a law-abiding Jewish man. And as a righteous man, he is wanting to do what is proper. But he's also suffering and he's full of pain. And so he prepares to quietly and mercifully divorce Mary, right? He doesn't want public shame. He doesn't want revenge, no spectacle. He's just full of sorrow and heartbreak. But then God speaks. An angel appears in a dream and says, "Do not be afraid. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So this is obviously the turning point, right? He went from sorrow now to confusion and even happiness. He doesn't receive the answer to all of his questions and all of his pondering, but he receives a command from the angel and he receives a promise. Matthew tells us when Joseph woke from sleep, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. No asking questions, no needing of explanations, no hesitation, no negotiation, just obedience. Joseph immediately reorganized his life around God's revealed word. Because when God comes near, no one remains unchanged. Next, Matthew shifts the scene from this small home to a distant land, and he shows us that when God comes near, he draws unexpected worshipers. Magi, right? These stargazers from the east come, and they're asking a dangerous question in Jerusalem. Where's the one who's been born king of the Jews? And these men aren't Jews. They're outsiders. They're Gentiles. They're seekers. They're men who are trained to study the stars and interpret their movements, and somehow God works through all that and leads them to the one that they're seeking to worship. They travel far. They ask persistently. They look around. They risk misunderstanding and opposition. And when they finally arrive, Matthew says, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. They weren't casually curious about this. This is complete surrender. Gold for a king, frankincense for worship, and myrrh hinting at his future suffering on the cross. Because when God comes near, no one remains unchanged. But as we saw in the story, not everyone rejoices. Matthew shifts the scene again and shows us that when God comes near, he exposes false worshipers. Herod, King Herod, he hears of another king. Matthew says that Herod was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, they were stirred up. He's not confused, right? He's threatened. He's threatened because Jesus wasn't born to merely inspire men, right? Jesus was not born to be some kind of a philosophical idea. He was not born just to be a good teacher. He was not born just to make you feel comfy and cozy. He was born to reign as king. King of kings, Lord of lords. And Herod knows this. Herod's shrewd, so he pretends to want to worship, but he actually plots to destroy. His unbelief is not passive. He's active and he's very aggressive. He's fearful. He's operating from fear and power, and he wants to keep his power. Because when God comes near, no one remains unchanged. Some people obey, like Joseph. Some people worship like the Magi, and some people resist him like King Herod. It's because God demands a response, right? We must all respond to Christmas, not to the season, not to the lights and the traditions and the decorations, not to all the gifts and the food and many of the things that we think of, the good gifts of Christmas, but to Jesus. Christmas demands a response to Jesus. So the question is then, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Christ himself? Will you respond like Joseph? Will you be trusting? Will you obey God's word immediately, even when obedience is costly? Or will you respond like the Magi? Maybe you're a seeker. Maybe you're interested and you're coming and you want to worship, but you're looking, you're wanting to know more. Or maybe you'll respond more like Herod, resistant, stubborn, disturbed by the season, disturbed by Christ himself, disturbed by Christ's authority in your life. There's no neutral ground. We can pretend there's neutral ground concerning Christmas and Christ, but there's no neutral ground. Christmas demands a response. The God whom the heavens cannot contain entered into a womb, in a manger, in Bethlehem. This was the king that the world did not recognize. The Savior who would one day rule the nations first came quietly. Because Christmas is about that amazing truth that God has come near. And when God comes near, no one remains unchanged. His nearness always reveals your heart. So what are you going to do tonight? Obey him, seek him, resist him. God has come near. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you love the world enough to send your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so for those of us who believe, I thank you, Lord, increase our faith. For those who are seeking, I pray you would open their eyes so that they could become worshipers. For those who are hard and resistant, I pray that you would make their hearts soft and moldable, that they might receive the truth of Christ. It's in his holy name that I pray. Amen.